The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
You are listening to the newly rebranded Fire Breslow podcast presented by the Bastards of Boston Baseball. I'm your host, Jason Kelly. I've got Chris and Jeremy alongside. And despite a fake rally, Red Sox lose again and they get swept by the Toronto Blue Jays. I think I'm confident in saying we all saw this coming, but still sucks either way. Red Sox lose 4-3. Chris, I'll start with you. I think this is just kind of what we've seen all season. It's another, you know, par for the course. Sonny Gray pitches really well. Offense doesn't show up until it's too little too late. And then Aroldis Chapman looking a little bit human in the ninth inning there, which isn't good because he's a top trade candidate for them right now. But what'd you see out of them today?
I mean, it's just more of the same. This team is gutless at this point. Like, even when they do show signs a fight, it doesn't matter because something is going to happen. The wheel will fall off some part of the car, and tonight or today, it was Aroldis Chapman. It's hard to get mad at him. I mean, he's been nearly damn perfect this whole tenure here with the Boston Red Sox. Sonny Gray was efficient in his pitching. He went 89 pitches, gave up 3 runs. But again, it's the offense. I mean, I think they only had 5 hits today. They had the back-to-back home runs to give some people some false hope, but you know, I predicted that they were going to get swept in this series, and I'm somewhat glad that they got swept in the series, because the truth is, like, what is really a win today do for them at this point? Tomorrow, Monasterio, Durbin, and you know, 99% of this roster is not going to wake up and be sufficient to win games consistently. So at this point, wins are only hurting the team long-term. Let it get bad as possible, and fire Craig Breslow.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've been on because I was traveling, but before I left, my point was this team needs to be losing because ownership needs to be shamed into making real moves. You know, and today's script is kind of a rinse and repeat. I was able to watch the game, and like you guys mentioned, you know, Sonny Gray was good enough. Chapman loses the game on a pop fly up the elevator shaft, and Wong misplays it because the wind's crazy today. I guess there were tornado warnings around. I don't know if that's an excuse or not, but he just completely misplayed it. Like, he didn't even get within 5 feet of the ball. Gives him an extra out, and obviously they make him pay. So, again, you know, you pitch well enough to be in it. If you can get to 4 or 5 runs, they can't do it. I was, like, jaw on the floor, shocked with IKF and Durbin going back to back in that moment off a guy like Yusevich, who had been really dominating the game. And my response in the moment was like, oh, interesting. But I never took that as some sign that they were going to win this game or anything else, or that Durbin or IKF is obviously going to be a difference bat. It's the same old with this team. They absolutely suck. I hate them. I hate Breslow. I hate ownership. I hate everything about it. And today is just a microcosm of the entire season.
Yeah, it was one of those you saw it coming, right? I mean, they go down early. Vlad Jr. hits one out early. You know, the winds were really whipping at Fenway. So I don't blame Sonny Gray too much for that one. Just like I don't blame Aroldis Chapman for the ninth inning, because in any other day, that's a fly ball. That's a fly ball that Duran easily catches. It's just that we had freaking tornadoes rolling through Massachusetts today. So unfortunate. By the way, that's probably the only reason IKF and Durbin went deep, is because the wind was blowing straight out to left field at that time. So I think any of us could have gone deep in that situation. So yeah, they rally, they tie it up. But again, you get the back-to-back homers, which is great. You get homers out of guys you don't expect. But then you get Wong, Monasterio, Gasper, like just uncompetitive at-bats from guys who are just easy to pitch to. And I get it. It's the bottom of your order. That's the way it's kind of supposed to be. But, you know, you tell me you couldn't have, I don't know, found someone to pinch it for Wong. Like, do we really hate Narvaez that much that we're not going to even try something like that? It's just the whole catcher situation reared its head again today too, because Gasper and Wong get in there, but Narvaez can't. It's the whole thing is just such a crap show. And, you know, unfortunately Chapman looked a little bit human in the ninth inning, as I said earlier. And this is a guy who the smoke around him is really starting to pick up. Like, I think he's now the top trade target for other teams around the league that the Red Sox have. I think Sonny Gray is up there too, but Sonny Gray, you know, he's older, and I think there's a lot of teams in smaller ballparks that maybe don't want to, you know, mess with him. Right now, Chapman's your best trade trip, and he goes out there and kind of gives it up. Again, not his worst outing, not entirely his fault, but that's a guy that you want to make sure that you protect him. And, you know, I don't blame them for putting him out there. It just kind of sucks that he has a blown save on a day where a lot of teams, although apparently not the Yankees, are really interested in acquiring him. So, yeah, it's one of those they lost. But, you know, I'm sitting there. At this point, I've got, like, Red Sox delegated to my phone on mute just because, like, whatever, World Cup's on. I'd rather watch, you know, Qatar and Canada than watch the Red Sox right now. And I just kind of shrugged my shoulders. Like, yeah, they lost. They got swept, you know. No surprise. Toronto's starting to heat up. Red Sox are going in the opposite direction. And I think it was actually Charlie in our group chat who pointed out that you're about to be leapfrogged by, like, the Angels and the Royals if you're not careful. If the Red Sox aren't careful, and they're heading into Seattle this weekend, so they're probably going to get curb stomped out there, you might exit this weekend as the worst team in the American League. And it's a bad American League. That tells you all you need to know about this Red Sox staff. That's how bad it's gotten.
Here's my favorite part of this loss, okay? You fight back. You tie the game against a pretty good pitcher. Your stud closer, you know, gives it up in part due to the misplayed ball by Wong. But here's the positive. Bottom of the ninth, you got Abreu, Contreras, Duran. Those are your three dudes. And they fly out the center, grounded out to third, popped out to third, six pitches. Like Chris said, gutless. Gutless. It's pathetic. Like, you can't have your three best players, best offensive players up in that spot with the way the game has gone and just flail out in six pitches. It's pathetic. Like I said earlier, it's a complete microcosm of this team. There's no leadership. You know, at some point, maybe it's already happened. Everyone's just thinking about themselves and not about winning in the team. And you don't blame them, because there's guys like Abreu who's going to get one shot at a contract that he needs to right the ship. Contreras may be playing for another contract after his expires next year. And it just becomes, you know, everyone, like they used to say in the bad teams in the early 90s, 25 guys, 25 cabs. Like, I don't know if this team's close or not, but it's going to be a brutal summer of baseball. And with ownership really doing nothing since the Cora thing, other than sending Sam Kennedy out to lie, it's just brutal. This team sucks to watch. I've been watching baseball almost my entire life, 30 plus years, and I don't remember a team that's just impossible to watch because they're not even fun, even if they suck.
Yeah, well, I agree with Butt Munch Cookie. I'd rather be a Royals fan too, because at least you have Bobby Witt to watch every night. This team, you know, I was thinking about this before the show, if this is worse than 2024, because I mean, 2024, they were a three ring circus. I mean, every night, a million errors in the infield, giving up a crazy amount of runs. And like, the defense was as bad as it was ever going to get. And obviously we're not as bad defensively now, surprisingly. I think this might be worse, because the one thing I could say about 2024 is in 2024, when I first joined the show, we all had the hope of what Marcelo Meyer, Roman Anthony, Christian Campbell, and at that point, Kyle Teal, what they could be when these guys came up. Then 2025 happens. Kyle Teal is shipped out. Their other ones come up, and the rest is history. And now here we are in 2026. Half of them are hurt. The other half we wish were hurt. And then the ones that are gone, we wish were still here. This team is beyond unwatchable. Beyond unwatchable at this point.
So that goes to one of the points I've been hammering for like a year and a half. I don't hate prospects. I don't. But the idea of building the core of your team through prospects and not supplementing the roster with veterans and leadership and specific needs, like as a random example that has nothing to do with this team, of course, how about a right-handed bat for the middle of the lineup? So you rely on all these players with no big league pedigree, and then when they have injury histories or they just don't perform at the big league level, you're standing there like, why isn't this working? Sam Kennedy gets on Nesson yesterday and says, well, you know, the projections had us at 90 wins, and this is a complete shock to us. No, the only shock is that you expected early 20-year-olds to come up and be in the big leagues what they were in AAA. I have been saying this for a year and a half. You give me any prospect and you can trade him for proven big league talent, I would do it in a heartbeat. And I've been in arguments with Charlie about, you know, Connelly Early and this and that. Now, Connelly Early looks like he's going to be a big league pitcher. But for every prospect that works out, you have 6, 7, 8 that fail. And they should, what they should have done is cast in their chips 2 years ago or last year and gone and get big league talent. The failure to move Duran, it is analysis by paralysis. They have failed to use their assets when they were at their highest value to improve the big league club. And so you have all these, you know, I won't mention anybody, but like all these Twitter accounts that are just listing like prospect, you know, this says we have 4 top 100 prospects and this guy just jumped up to 13th and then second. And who gives a blank? Who gives a blank? And like the big league team sucks, except for last year. We're going to finish, what is it, 6 out of the last 7 seasons in last place? It is a laughing stock. This is a team supported by a multi-billionaire that pulls from 5.5 states, owns their own network, and you're telling me that they can't find a way to make this thing work, that they can't hire an executive that has pedigree at this level? That they can't support that person with front office people that know what they're doing, that have a direct line to John Henry, and John Henry's committed to winning. The whole thing is an absolute bleep show. There is no path based on what we've seen, the current ownership and the current leadership, to get this thing back on track anytime soon. And all of those assets that I talked about have all depressed in value. Every single one. Anthony hurt. Cassis is not worth a bag of baseballs. Meyer doesn't seem to be a big league hitter outside of the fastball. I mean, do I need to keep going on? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, the truth is you already said that the fundamental flaw with this team in the way they approach this is, you know, we've had success in bringing up prospects. But to your point, it was by supplementing a core that was already built with big leaguers, right? When you had Pedroia come up, Ellsbury, you still had Manny. You still had guys with World Series pedigree. We did the same thing in 2013. Bogarts comes up, you still have Big Poppy, a bunch of other guys on the roster. 2018, etc. We just decided that it's like, you know what, get rid of everything. And the one guy you could have said was like, all right, well, you have Devers. And then you trade him as soon as you bring the guys up. Now we have nothing.
Yeah, and I don't lament like them getting rid of a guy like Bregman, because I wouldn't have given him that contract either. But you're telling me you don't want his leadership in that clubhouse right now, like, and his right-handed swing at Fenway Park right now? And the problem that the Red Sox are going to have is if they keep the same guys in power, they're going to look at what the White Sox are doing and say, oh, we can be that. We just need guys to get healthy. As long as Roman gets healthy and Casas gets healthy and, you know, Meyer maybe just needs a little bit more time, because the White Sox are kind of doing what I think the Red Sox wish they could do. They're competing for first place with all young kids. They've got a few veterans mixed in. They signed guys like Randall Krychik, and they got some veterans in their bullpen. But for the most part, their entire starting lineup is all guys under 30 years old. And the only thing I'd say, you know, to that is they also went out and got the big power bat in Murakami, who the Red Sox had no interest in. And that's working out pretty well for the White Sox. I know he's hurt right now, but he helped propel the first part of the season. You don't have to do it like the White Sox. That's a very rare, like, I'm amazed it's still working. I'm still waiting for the drop-off with that team. Whether or not it comes, I don't know. But can you do something like what the Pirates did? The Pirates looked at their roster last year and said, wow, we really underachieved, but we've got O'Neill Cruz, Connor Griffin, Paul Skeens. We've got a pitching staff that's really young and really good, but we finished last in homers. Okay, let's go out and get Ryan O'Hearn and Marcelo Zuna. And let's go get Brandon Lau from the Tampa Bay Rays. And now the Pirates are competing at least for a wild card spot, and they have a chance at their division. They're not tanking. They're not going backwards. Why didn't the Red Sox do that? They lost Bregman and Devers and decide, yeah, you know what? Caleb Durbin's a fine replacement for those guys. And it's like, clearly, no, he isn't. And it stuns me that they thought they could get away with Wilson Contreras is going to be the primary guy in the middle of our lineup, and he's going to provide all the oomph we need. He's a really good player. He's had a really good season for you so far. He's never been the centerpiece player in any lineup he's been in. Never. He's not that guy. And for them to put that pressure on him, and before they got him, it, you know, their whole thing was, well, we think Roman Anthony has 30 home run power, which is crazy. That's crazy to put that on a 21-year-old who is still, like, growing into his body. So it's true. Like, they just don't – they have no clear direction. And we've seen this with all the driveline stuff that's happened the last couple of days with this Kyle Boddy who – left to pursue other baseball opportunities, he got fired. Like, you know, let's Theo fired him. But it's the same thing with Driveline. And look, I kind of can't stand them either, but I also understand that Driveline does help other organizations that implement it correctly. The Red Sox didn't do that. Breslow and all those guys said it's going to be 100% Driveline, and that's going to be that. It's going to be a one-size-fits-all. And it's completely driven them backwards. So, yeah, it's a whole, you know, Juan said it on a show last week. They need to clean house. It's time to just clean house. And I don't know if Henry and them have the stomach to do it, but how many more games do you have to lose before you realize you're a dysfunctional mess? And it's not the guys necessarily on the field anymore. It's kind of the guys higher up that are screwing everything up.
It's an organizational failure. It's an organizational failure. If you think about the really good Red Sox teams and how they rolled cores into the next core, into the next core. And they were good for so long and championship caliber for so long. What was the consistent thing? Now, of course, they had talent. But, and I talked about this, I think, about a month ago. Like when Lester came up, he could sit in the dugout on the days he didn't pitch and learn from established guys. And then Lester became that guy. And then he did it for the next guy. And, you know, Roman Anthony comes up, and last year he has Bregman, and he looks like he's going to be everything they're projecting him to be. We don't have that leader this year, and no one's really overachieving other than Contreras. So where's the leadership? Where you fire Alex Cora, who's an ex-major league player and I think a top 5 to 8 manager. Who do these guys have to go to that says, hey, I've been here before. I played for 8, 9, 10 years. This is what it takes to be successful at this level. This is what it takes to interpret the data and the eye test for today's pitcher to say, all right, look, man, if you can get ahead, he's going to try to catch up to you with this pitch. And knowing that, you can sit on it and drive it. There's no one on the roster. And that goes back to my first point, an organizational failure. The reason why they didn't extend Bregman, one, was stupidity, right? The failure to include the no trade clause, the failure to put a little bit more money, calling Scott Boris's bluff that there was another team. You have to pay for the back end of these players to not exceed expectations, to get to the tail end of their career and wane off as far as production. But you have to do that to get the front years of excellence. And I know Bregman's not performing and he's not, doesn't fit my situation here as well as possible, but a guy like Pujols, the Angels go give him 10 years. The first 6 or 7 years were fantastic. And yeah, he was basically a stick in the mud and couldn't hit the last 2 or 3 years, but it was worth it because you paid for the prime of his career. They have decided they're not going to do that. And so there's no, they're completely devoid of leadership. The veteran you get is Wilson Contreras, and we've seen Wilson Contreras. He tries to start a fight with the Brewers, and the team wants no part of it. You know, you want a guy that if he's going to jump in the fire, it's a valid reason. And when it is, you're going to see the roster come in behind him and support him. Contreras starts a fight, and it's like, what are you doing, bro? Like, I'm sorry, that's not a leader. I don't care how good of his production is, whether you like his personality or not. He's not going to lead a bunch of young guys that don't know how to win, and certainly it seems don't know how to be successful at this level. So when you break it down, which they have to do, you have to start by identifying the guy you want to be the front of your roster, and you have to go pay for him. You know, prospects, money, whatever it takes, you have to start there and then fill it in. Every good team has that. All the Red Sox teams that won, you could cite to a core of veteran players that knew what it took to win, knew what it took to be successful at the big league club. This is the exact opposite. Let's fill it with prospects and throw Wilson Contreras in it and expect it to work.
Well, that was the great mistake that the Red Sox made, right? Because at the end of the day, letting Bregman go was probably the right move. But not recognizing the value that he brought from a leadership perspective and supplementing it and replacing it in his absence was a mistake. Because even Contreras, forget about the fight, just the back of his baseball card and like what he has done in the MLB. Like, he's not a winner. He's a good player, but he's not bringing World Series experience, deep playoff runs, where he's going to be able to help these kids. We don't have that on this team at all. In fact, there's only one player on this team argument, and it's Aroldis Chapman. And it's ironically in a season where he sees the line on the field because there's no leads to protect. That's just a reality. We can't even get a lead this season. And then the other point that you made, Jeremy, as far as like with, you know, having these prospects and these cores, the Red Sox used to get those guys and then you'd supplement the old core and then those prospects would become the new core for new prospects and then just rinse and repeat. And you'd keep having those prospects turn into a core that you would supplement new prospects for. But now we have none of that. And it's not only leading to a future that looks about as bleak as it could, it makes for just absolutely unwatchable baseball on a night in and night out basis. There is nothing to hang your hat on with this team. There's not a player that I have to watch. Like, even when Garrett Crochet wasn't hurt, I'm not sitting there saying, like, I've got to watch a Garrett Crochet start. He's good. He's not like Scooble. And even then, like, I don't know if I'm sitting there watching Scooble. It's not Skeens. That's for damn sure. We don't have a Bobby Witt. We don't have anything. And you know what? It's, I think about the fans that when there was rumors of getting Mike Trout, we all left like, this team doesn't need a Mike Trout. But I don't know. With the argument we just made, maybe they do. Because you know what? Mike Trout, he's got the experience. He's got the Hall of Fame career. He's not a winner because he's never had that opportunity, but I give you, he's a hell of a lot better and more professional than Wilson Contreras at this point. But this team is just, it's a rudderless ship that's got a hole in it.
You got to pay for a guy in the prime of his career. That's what you have to do. And when I say pay, if he's a free agent, you got to pay the suck tax. And if he's not available as a free agent, you've got to go find a team and you've got to overpay. And you're going to have people that don't like the trade. Oh, my God, too many prospects. Who gives a bleep? Throw in 5, 6 prospects. The odds are that only one of them are going to be good. And if you get a middle of the lineup guy that's a leader that knows how to win, who gives a crap? You got to go identify him. And that's the concern here. Breslow has shown no aptitude to pull off any trade that's really worked other than the Crochet trade. You know, the Bregman thing is embarrassing. It's so embarrassing. And, you know, the fact that he's not gone, I don't really have an explanation for it. I don't know if you guys have a theory, but we're steamrolling here. We're 40 days away from the deadline, and you're going to let this guy handle the deadline? This is a major, major pivot point for this franchise. If you do it appropriately, you can be a better team quicker. Probably not next year, but maybe the year after. You know, but you don't have a core of guys that you can rely on. You may be burning a couple of crochet years, you know, but to do what they've done the last 2 years, which is essentially not do very much at all, none of the moves worked out. Breslow is just afraid to lose a trade, which they're tacitly admitting to, in my opinion, by some of the comments that have come out in the last week. Why is he not gone? Henry, are you really going to let this guy run the trade deadline? Because what? Some spreadsheet says that some war and this stat mean this, and this is his value. Instead of just saying, who gives a bleep? This is the guy we want. And go find him and get him. So it's just, again, it's an organizational failure. They're rudderless. You know, I'm hearing this thing that Henry went and gotten some, you know, heated discussion in a room that everyone could see. Did you guys hear about this? Where they were in it was a glass wall and you could see it from the concourse, and Henry's doing all crazy and it's like, report this. And I just envision him saying things like, pretend like I'm saying something meaningful, nod back at me and be upset or whatever. It's like, it's all just smoke and mirrors. Sam Kennedy on Nesson just makes me roll my eyes. It's pathetic.
And what's worse is some people still swallow it up. I mean, you know, people still go, oh, look, no. Henry's reinvested now. And yeah, we're gonna go back to the glory days. Like, guys, this is how they want the team run. They want it run cost efficiently. They don't want to do what the Dodgers and Yankees are doing payroll wise. They want to be where they are. And they thought that they could win doing that. Their biggest fetish is that they think they can be the Atlanta Braves because they think they're that smart. And they think that, oh yeah, if we hand out the contracts early and, you know, we want to spend all the way up to the luxury tax. But the problem is Alex Anthopoulos is actually good at his job and he's smart and he knows what he's doing. And he's won before. Craig Breslow is not that guy. And Chris, to your point about Mike Trout, he actually just landed on the IL today with a hamstring. So once again, Mike Trout going to miss a lot of time this year because I'm sure that won't be the last injury he has. But, you know, Jeremy, you made a point about paying the suck tax, right? For, you know, free agents in their 30s. That's the whole reason why Pete Alonso isn't here. And I know he had a slow start with Baltimore, but he's starting to heat up now. You tell me that guy wouldn't have been a perfect fit for Fenway Park, but he wanted that one extra year that the Red Sox weren't willing to give him because, well, we don't want to pay you until you're 36. We're not comfortable paying anyone after 35. Well, then good luck winning anything ever because that's what these guys want. They want contracts that, you know, guarantee them money and guarantee them, you know, life security into their late 30s. They're not just going to just say, you know, okay, yeah, no, I'll just take a 2-year deal because you're the Red Sox and it'll be worth it. No, you've lost that. The Dodgers might be able to get away with that. Because they're the Dodgers. Everyone knows they're going to be in the World Series every year, right? Unless something miraculous happens. The Red Sox don't have that anymore. They don't have that pull. That, you know, players look at them and go, well, you're kind of a mess. You're firing managers. You're trading away superstar players. Like, you know, your young kids aren't panning out. Like, players see that too. It's not just other executives. So if you want free agents, if you want the big stars to come here, you're going to have to go back to what you were doing in the glory days, as we call it. And yeah, you're going to have to overpay a little bit, whether that's through a trade or just with money. Because right now, you're not an attractive option. Like, players want to go to the Dodgers, the Cubs, the Yankees. Like, they want to go to, you know, teams that are actually going to pay them. And they know the Red Sox are going to try and lowball them time after time again. So they've got to, again, like, it's a whole organizational reset that they have to go through. And to your point about the deadline, if Breslow's here doing it, I have to imagine that Theo and whoever else is looking over his shoulder every single time he's on the phone or he's doing something. Because if you let him just completely run it on his own, he's not going to get you max value for your assets. You know, I said on this show the other day, like, what if you could pull off like Aroldis Chapman for Gleyber Torres, like the Yankees did? That was a good trade for them. Gleyber Torres, I know he moved on eventually, but they traded half a season of Chapman for a guy who ended up being your starting second baseman for a couple of years there, looked like a future stud, and is actually still a really good player, just with a different team. Like, that's what the Red Sox need to do. I'm not interested in Aroldis Chapman being traded for a 17-year-old that you're not going to see for 5 years. That doesn't help you. You're just going to be the same rudderless ship, and you're going to keep falling to the bottom of the standings every single year if you do that. And the problem with doing trades like that Yankees one I mentioned is I don't trust Breslow to be creative enough to do it. And that's ultimately where the problem lies with this team. It's just you've got the same guy running the show, and they should have fired him weeks ago. They didn't. And so now here we are. You just got swept by the Blue Jays. You're falling further and further out of it. As I said, like, by the end of this weekend, you might end up being the worst team in the American League. And, you know, at that point, it's all hands on deck. I mean, at that point, it's going to be a fire sale, which I don't know how that's going to go with Breslow in charge. But speaking of this weekend, might as well just get right into it, because it is not going to be fun for your Red Sox. And it starts tomorrow night at 10:10. So if you have the nerve to stay up on a Friday night to watch this team, God bless you, because I won't be doing it. But you feel free to. It's Ranger Suarez getting the ball for the Red Sox. He's going up against Bryce Miller, who has been phenomenal for the Mariners. All those Mariner pitchers are nasty, and Bryce Miller is certainly one of them. So, Chris, I'll start with you. How do you feel about tomorrow night and just the weekend in general?
I predict the same thing that I predicted last time. We're going to get swept. The good news for our comrades that are more than likely going to have to do this show in a normal time would be 1 a.m., but this game should be over by about the third or fourth inning, so they could probably jump on early. I do want to pat myself on the back, because I did predict that we would get swept this series, and I did make a bold prediction saying that the Toronto Blue Jays would be in that third wild card over the A's after it happened, and sure as shit they are.
Swear jar. Ranger Suarez will pitch well. He'll give you a chance to win. You won't hit, and you'll lose.
That's pretty much the script, right? I mean, yeah, I think Ranger Suarez will do just fine. I think he'll give you a quality start, you know, six innings, three runs or less. But I think Bryce Miller is going to shove the baseball down your throat in terms of your offense. So, yeah, I don't expect anything to change. You know, this team always tends to suck anyway when they go out west. So it's going to be even worse out there, I think. So
that's a big ballpark.
Yep.
I think I could be wrong, but I think that ballpark is like the lowest average run scored per game or something like that, or, you know, bottom five. So that's perfect for this team, because they can't hit regardless of where they play. And then you put them in a bigger field that isn't conducive to scoring runs. It would be hilarious if they just didn't score at all, like three shutouts in a row. That would be hilarious. And it's possible. That's the thing. It's actually possible.
I was just going to say, what's amazing is that it's totally possible with this team. Yeah, because you're right.
Score runs in the easiest ballpark to score, and that's our home ballpark. So, yeah, this team is just an absolute joke. We're going to get swept. I don't even know what talking about the series matters. And honestly, I think about the fact that we're all in, like, fire Breslow. I'm at the point, and listen, I want that to happen. I'm at the point now, until they fire Sam Kennedy, like, I don't think anything's going to change. We could fire Breslow, and then we end up with another iteration of Heim Bloom and Breslow. Who cares? Like, until
Sam Kennedy should be fired. He sucks.
I agree. Yeah, get Kennedy out of there too. I keep waiting for the house cleaning with this team, but I think they're going to get swept. I don't think anything's going to change. I don't think anyone's going to lose their jobs. And we'll just be right back here on Monday talking about the last place, probably last place in the American League, Boston Red Sox.
I'm going to tell you this. I know this is not a football podcast, but my point is a baseball point. The minute the Patriots break and go into camp, no one's going to give a bleep about this team. Nesson will have brutal ratings. People are not going to bother going to the ballpark. They're not going to be talking about the Red Sox on WEEI or 98.5. So if it's going to stay this bad, and when it does, and when they show up and they come back with Drake May and AJ Brown and all that, this town will not give a flying F about this team. And that is when I will be a happy person. Because yeah. They'll be forced. It'll hit their wallets, and Henry's going to have to do something.
Yeah, that'll force their hand, because it's going to come down to the Nesson ratings. Once those really start to tank, which you're right, like once the Patriots break camp and the World Cup is over, yeah, forget about it. No one's going to pay attention to this team.
It's a great point, Jeremy, because the truth is, as long as the Sox have sucked in this like recent iteration, for the most part, the Patriots are bad. And as good as the Celtics and Bruins were, it was hidden because it's an off-season sport for baseball. The fact that the Patriots are getting good again is the best thing that could happen to this team.
100%. Yeah. I mean, look, you could take it a step further. If the Celtics get Giannis and they stack up to go win again, it's going to be even worse. And I'm going to tell you right now, as a daily consumer of sports radio in the city, they're not going to be talked about. And that bothers Henry. You've seen him on the yacht listening to 98.5 or watching on NBC Boston. We've all seen the photo. He knows when they're not getting talked about. Right now they're being talked about because there's nothing else to talk about. It's going to be radio silent. No one in this town is going to give a bleep about the Red Sox by the time camp starts, which is about a month away.
Yeah, 100%. And also, like, don't be fooled by the scenes at Fenway Park right now. It's just the Scottish that are filling out the stands. Like, I think the attendance will take a dip too. Once the Scottish go back home, they go back overseas, you know, they're not going to want to go to the ballpark.
Let me ask you this question. Would you rather go to a free practice with the team coming off a Super Bowl run that's only improved their roster and committed to winning, or would you rather go pay for overpriced beer and tickets and sit in Fenway Park? I know my answer.
Yeah, I'll take the free practice, definitely. And I know a lot of other people would too.
So,
dude, I'd watch Chinese ping pong over this crap.
Fair enough.
Well, you got to let us know where to find that so we can stream it, because, yeah, it's anything's
better than watching. Florida, if you bet on the Hard Rock app on ping pong, you can click the little button and see them playing in their garages. It's great. It's real degenerate behavior. Not that I would know.
No,
That's what a friend told me.
Of course, yeah. yeah, it's come to that, folks. We're debating watching Chinese ping pong over the Red Sox. That's how bad they are. So anyway, enjoy this weekend if you can. If you're going to watch the Red Sox, God bless you. Make sure you have a stiff drink nearby for that one. We'll be back on the air again at some point tomorrow once they're getting blown out 9-0 in the fourth inning.